The next Saturday is the Feast of the Assumption, okay? And on that day, we finish the 40 days of Let Freedom Ring. We also start the 54-day Rosary Novena for our nation. We're getting many more people to join this. I think when I looked last, it was last night, and I think there was 68,500 people that were doing this. And but all of the ministries, and I think Kevin O'Brien and Men of Christ kind of got us all rallied together, but all the ministries in the state of Wisconsin, pro-life organizations, Bishop Hying, Archbishop Listecki, Holy Family Homeschoolers, I have to plug all of them all the time. But anyways, are all rallying together. We're going to do basically what we did on Corpus Christi. A lot of people looked on and saw. We got 300 people together in like 3 days. And it was amazing. And we went right by all the graffiti and the boarded up stores. And we're praying for peace, right? There's so much violence and so much chaos in the streets. And we prayed for peace. And so we processed our Lord down from Holy Redeemer Parish, which is like a block and a half down from this from the Capitol. And we had little girls in their first communion outfits. It was awesome. And 300 people. And when we got there, we did prayed and did the benediction of the Blessed Sacrament right there. So basically, we're going to be doing the same thing this coming Saturday. We're going to meet at Holy Redeemer at 11:30, okay? And then, if all goes well, when the Angelus bells go off, we'll start processing. Very cool. So please, 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 please plan to join us, okay? If you can for that. I think that's everything. I'm sorry, I repeated a couple of the announcements, but I just wanted to emphasize them. So those of you who have been following Let Freedom Ring with the three man priests, Father Bill Peckman, Father James Altman, and Father Rick Heilman, right? We've been doing these reflections, and we rotate them. And what are we doing? It's Let Freedom Ring, 40 days to freedom from the devil. And so we're hitting typical vices, sins, ways the devil moves, but we are zeroing in on kind of what we're seeing as what the devil's up to today, okay? And what we're facing today. So each one of those. So Father Bill Peckman hit relativism today. That's a big one. And it's an awesome reflection if you see it. You can find all those at usgraceforce.com. So I bring them up just to say that we recently had all the man priests, Peckman, Altman, Heilman, on the U.S. Grace Force podcast, and we actually in one night did two episodes. So we did a two-part series. There's just so much that we need to talk about. And so the one aired last Wednesday night, this past Wednesday night, and the next one will air this coming Wednesday night. All right. So why do I draw attention to that? One, you got to see it. It's awesome. But two, we got to a point toward the second half of the episode, part two of this, and the question Doug asked us three priests was, okay, what's the solution? Okay, I wish everybody knew what that was. You know, everybody's at a loss, I think, at this time. But all three of us, because Doug always does, he doesn't ask for a specific priest. He says, what do you three priests think? And then we're sitting there going, who should go first? But we kind of all clamored, and it turned out we wanted to point to the same thing. And ironically, it's today's gospel as a way for us to understand what the solution is. So, just to refresh your memory, this is that scene where Jesus comes to them walking on water, right? They think it's a ghost. And then it's the Lord. Or don't be afraid, it is I. And St. Peter, he's one of the sons of thunder, or he's associated with the sons of thunder, but he's impulsive almost, you know. But that's, in a lot of ways it's a good thing. I'm going to do it now. I don't want to sit and think this through. Let's do it. So if you tell me I can walk on the water, I'm going to walk on the water. So he says, come. And so he does. He gets out of the boat, and Peter is walking on water. But then what happens? He begins to sink. Okay, this gets at what all three priests, all three of us priests, wanted to point to. Okay, why did he begin to sink? Well, let's see if I can find that part here. Okay. Peter got out of the boat and began to walk in the water toward Jesus. But when he saw how strong the wind was, he became frightened. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Okay, so what's going on there? At first, with great trust and belief in the power of God, I believe in the power of God so great that I think at your command, I can walk on water. Remember in another part of the gospel, it says, listen, you know, if you had the faith of a mustard seed, you could say to that mountain, move from here to there, and it would do it. So now Peter's walking on water. Are you kidding me? It's amazing. But then what did he do? He was looking at Jesus. He was believing in Jesus. He was walking on water. And then all of a sudden, he noticed how strong the wind was. You see what my head just did? Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And then, no, no, Jesus knew just Jesus. He noticed how strong the wind was and he became frightened. You got the Son of God right there in front of you, who, by his command, gave you a power to walk on the water, and you're letting the wind frighten you. That's why he sank. So how does it apply to today? We're called to focus on Jesus, to trust in Jesus, to believe in his power. Let's just stop and think for a second. Whose power is greater? Jesus' power or the devil's power? Wait, I'll give you time to think about that. Of course we know the answer to that question. Right? See, he took his eye off of Jesus and let the wind frighten him. And so it is in our own faith lives, that when we take our eye off Jesus, we let everything that's going on in the world, mostly manipulated by the devil and his demonic minions, okay? And we get frightened. Let's ask that question once more time. Whose power is greater, Jesus or the devil's? See, when we let ourselves get frightened by what the devil's doing, we're in essence saying, Jesus, you can't do anything about it. The devil is more powerful than you are. And you know what's going to happen? We're going to sink. And we are. We're going down because we lost that focus. And I added this to my little reflection. I said, this is most seen in the way that we worship, or the way that we began to worship after the Second Vatican Council. Just to let you know, and I think you do know this, I'm not a Vatican II Council basher. I'm the minions who manipulated the Vatican II Council of Vatican II basher. Okay? That phrase they couldn't stop using. Well, it's the spirit of the council. Wasn't in the council, and they manipulated it. So what did the council not call for? For us to take the tabernacle and put it in the corner, or worse yet, in another room while we turn and it's all about you and me. What did we do there? We took our eye off of Jesus in our worship and we put it on ourselves. Yes, I'm a proponent of ad orientem. Bishop Morlino was, he begged his priests to start implementing that. And frankly, I think the vast majority want to, but if it wasn't for the cancel culture element within their parishes, that if they dare do something like that, I've seen it all over the place. It happened to me. If you dare do this, we will destroy your reputation and we will destroy the parish. It's happening everywhere. So right now, priests are calculating, is it a hill I want to die on? And I believe it is. I think we got to get courageous now and not let the element within parishes who feel they're in control, because why? Because they will use tactics that you and I simply can't use. Calumniate someone, detraction, lies, to destroy the person because they're not doing it their way. We're living in a time right now where we're man-worshipping. We're taking our eye off of Jesus, and so then what happens? Well, then Jesus is cool with all my sins, and you know, and I don't have to prove I love him, and I'm spiritual, but not religious, you know, and everything we're seeing right now. Why? Because it's no longer no big deal. When you worship this way, it's an incredibly big deal. You know it. And so do the cancel culture elements within each parish. They don't want to go there because they want to vote in their abortion advocates. Those who are looking to destroy the nuclear family. Those who are just fine voting in an element that says grown men can share a bathroom with little girls. Because if we ever put our eye back on Jesus, we can't do that anymore. We won't allow ourselves to do that anymore. So we got to make it about man worship and casual and not a big deal. Do you see what's going on? Do you see what's going on? And we're sinking. We're sinking because of this. I've said this before, but 32 years of priesthood now, and I've listened to countless conversion stories, and you know what 80 to 90% of them are? I found myself in an adoration chapel, and everything changed. A part of the same thing is, I went to a reverent mass and everything changed. But what's happening there? Let's start with the Adoration Chapel. It's the same thing with the reverent mass. But I always tell people, if you're going to go to like a traditional mass for the first time, go like you're going to adoration, okay? We don't have active participation and let's clap hands and let's respond. You know, you're in adoration. You're in awe and wonder. And that's what we're trying to do too, is with this enriched ordinary form mass. We're trying to get us to engage. You know what active participation actually means? Okay, the Latin, actuosa participatio. My Latin stinks. Please excuse me. It means engage. It means locked in. Okay? It means like Peter was when he was walking on the water. You're right there. You're the Son of God. You're more powerful than the devil. I could say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it would. I could walk on water. You see, that's actuosa participatio. That's what real active participation. We made, oh, no, eat my body, drink my blood, and clap hands, and you know, let's have a nightclub act or a Broadway musical because it's entertaining. Do you see? All man stuff. And oh yeah, we'll go get, when it's time for communion, we'll go across the hall and get the bread and start passing it out to everybody. Do you see why we're sinking? All three of those Let Freedom Ring priests, Peckman, Altman, Highman, said in essence the exact same thing. I actually went first. I think I went first because my hearing's been failing me, and so I didn't notice that they wanted to chime in. But anyways, I went first, and they all said, that's exactly where I was going. That's exactly where they wanted to say the exact same thing. So there's that. Okay? So I'm going to conclude here by saying, here's what I recommend for all of us. First, I say, come out with your brothers and sisters next Saturday. Okay? The world is going to say, oh, no, I can't because... All right? Fight that. Get behind... And I'm speaking to you, yes, but I'm going to speak a lot to the camera right now because we're already doing this. Get behind your priest. Don't let the cancel culture element of your parish keep your eye off Jesus. Get behind your priest who wants to bring more reverence, who wants us together to keep our eye on the Lord. See, you'll notice when I'm praying, when I'm speaking to you, the Lord be with you. I don't say it to the altar, I say it to you. But when I'm talking to God, we're talking to God. Laser focus. Get behind your priest. This needs to be implemented. And I'll say at least the majority, but I'll say the vast majority are not doing it because the cancel culture within their parish will destroy him and the parish if they don't get their way. Letters to the bishop, temper tantrums. Okay? You need to be his battle buddy. Adoration, 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 adoration. Please, if you're not doing adoration, please pick it up. Now, if it's just out of the question that you can get to an hour of adoration at an adoration chapel, I would love to make an adoration chapel here, by the way. I just, at this point, I've been talking with several people, and we're competing for adorers for downtown. There's not enough. So I don't want to take their adorers away from them. So pray about that. My hope is to do the undercroft of this church. Just turn that into an incredible adoration chapel. But again, we don't have enough adorers to do it in two places in Madison and the surrounding area. But adore, please. And if you got $1 million, see me about making that adoration chapel, by the way. Not $1 million, but won't be cheap. But again, I keep reminding people, you can adore before the tabernacle. It's incredibly beautiful and blessed to have our Lord exposed in that golden monstrance. Okay, that helps. But it's the same thing that he's in the tabernacle as well, okay? At least in the sense of God being here. Okay, the monstrance might help us a little bit more, but God is still here. So come to church early. Stay late. Okay, one of both of those. We try to keep the church open. Come. I think I said this last Sunday too. Our great grandparents. No, I don't have COVID because I cleared my throat. Our great grandparents and great great grandparents could not find it in themselves to keep driving past a church. They had to pull in and at least for a few minutes put their eye on Jesus. Okay? The chapel visits, they called that. In those days, we didn't have a spoiled brat culture trying to destroy churches, so it was easier to keep the church open 24/7. It's a spoiled brat culture. What do you read my reflection for tomorrow? I'm pretty much done with it. Okay? The other thing I recommend too is I think God caves are the coolest thing in the world. I got one. Okay? I mean, I meant to say man caves. I moved ahead. But I also have a God cave. It doesn't need to be as elaborate as mine is. Mine's the coolest one in the world. I have a private chapel in my rectory, but you'll notice if you ever come to confession, it's right there. You can go in and do your penance if you want right there before the Blessed Sacrament. Anyway, do a God cave in your house. Yeah, if you want to get fancy schmancy, make a whole robe, blah, blah, blah. But you can do the corner, and I always tell parents, I recommend your bedroom, but you might, I don't know the design of your house. But the corner of your bedroom. And I always say, listen, don't you say to your spouse, honey, watch the kids, I'm going to go to Quick Trip and get some milk. Or whatever. Yep, I got it. How about this? Honey, watch the kids, I'm going to go to the God cave for a few minutes. Somebody can explain me and pull me aside after Mass because I'm not a parent, so I don't know. But I don't understand when people say, yeah, God cave, I get that, but Father, you don't have kids, so you don't know. Don't know why. That one spouse watches the kid while the other one goes a Quick Trip? Kids, I meant. Because you all have 83 kids, which is beautiful. So, you know, I get how much they need us and how we have to be right there. But again, go ahead and explain it to me. Why Quick Trip is okay, but God cave just can't happen. And what do you do there? Yes, quiet prayer. But here's what I'm going to recommend as well. I'm somewhat resistant to recommend this because so many people are Protestant wannabes. And again, I love our Protestant brothers and sisters, but they don't have the Eucharist. And so when I see Catholics emphasizing this and this alone, I kind of go, I sense you don't like being Catholic. But here goes. The Word of God. You know, here's what happens with the Word of God. A true anointing, okay, a supernatural anointing happens when you're reading the Word of God. And what happens is that like the first reading with Elijah, okay, he wasn't in the earthquake or the storm or the fire. No one's going to get this reference I'm about to do, but that reminds me of disco days, earth, wind, and fire. See, only some chuckled because they got that. That was a group in the 70s that played disco music for the most part. Anyways, and I dance. I'm a pretty good dancer, by the way. My dad was an outstanding dancer. So anyway, he wasn't in the storm. Remember Peter? He's over here, Peter. And with Elijah in the still small voice. So we got to tune into that. And that's what we do when we go to our God cave or spend time before the Blessed Sacrament. We're stopping. We're not noticing the chaos and the busyness and the storms of life for that time. And reading sacred scripture tunes us into his voice. Okay? I think all of you have had this experience. I have it all the time. That when I start reading sacred scripture, even when I'm doing the divine office, all of a sudden God starts talking to me. Not audible. Father Rick, I'm talking to you now. No, you know what it is. The way he always communicates to us. Where you know that you know that you know what you just received in your mind and your heart, that came from God. Okay? See, that's what sacred scripture does. It tunes us in to the voice of God. And even what we read becomes a prayer unto him. I always notice when a lot of the Psalms are asking for God's protection. You know, when I accidentally or whatever miss divine office, I can see the protections come off me. And the devil starts playing, right? I recommend the Psalms. They're just beautiful. Is calling out in gratefulness and you're awesome and please protect me, you know. Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me under the shadow of your wing, right? So, yes to sacred scripture. Okay? It's teaching to become the best version of ourselves we can possibly be, but it literally tunes us into the voice of God. So do that. Okay? And then you'll be away from doubting and sinking because you're afraid of the storms, because you're in essence saying, devil's more powerful than Jesus. Get your eye off of that. Get it back focused squarely on the Lord, and peace will reign in your hearts. I believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe.